This is the Friday, June 18th edition of the Daily Wager Podcast. We've got a huge playoff weekend. We'll touch on all three games and also give you a little baseball on the way out.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome to the Daily Wager Podcast, presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated daily fantasy app. I'm Doug Kazarian alongside Tyler Foljam as we handle our business on a Friday, and that also means setting the table for the weekend. So a lot of games to get through, Tyler. Let's just start in chronological order with tonight. Philadelphia, Atlanta, the Hawks at home with a chance to advance to the Eastern Conference Finals, and they are home dogs here. How are you seeing this game play out?
My most comfortable wager will be playing the under 221.5. The under has been more profitable than the over in this series. And now we get to, you know, a crucial game six for Philly, where I think they're going to, you know, guys are going to be out there for 40 plus minutes, which usually ends up slowing the pace. It's been a physical series nonetheless. So most comfortable with the under 221.5. I do think, though, 3 points in the pocket of Atlanta is a little bit too much right now. They have momentum. They're at home. The crowd's going to be crazy. They're healthier than Philadelphia. So I don't know who wins this game. I know Philadelphia is the better team when they play their best game, but I'm not sure how mentally they're going to recover from that. If I did, which I'm not going to do, but if I did pick a side, I'd take 3 points with the Hawks, but definitely playing the under 221.5.
All right. So I was on the under last couple games. I'm just kind of like torn here. Prop I've mentioned on this pod, I was a coward in the last game and went off of it, but I'll come back. I'll do the Ben Simmons under 7.5 rebounds. The game on Monday was a little bit of a fluke, just because he had 6 in the first quarter, but usually just his defensive assignment, keeping him away from the hoop, guarding Trae Young. And who knows, maybe he's just going to be yanked if he's not hitting his free throws. What he's doing is Ben Wallace territory in terms of postseason history.
Oh yeah.
And there's going to be a chance where doctors can't play him, right? Can't do it. So, I just think it's going to be one of those things, and I'll just have to play the percentages, because in these meetings and in this series in particular, he has not touched, that rebound prop except for that one game on Monday. Tonight's game, a little different in terms of uncertainty with player health. Donovan Mitchell, has been upgraded to a game time decision. You would think he's going to push through anything given the magnitude of the game and Utah facing elimination. And then Mike Conley may be trending towards returning. We have not seen him in this series. Such a difference maker. We saw that in closeout situations with Memphis in the first round. I think Utah is going to respond with a little desperation here. I actually like him in the first quarter and the game here. And I think they're going to make some adjustments. Royce O'Neal sort of at the top of the key. And what they do, what the Clippers were doing, were trapping Mitchell, and then he would force it to O'Neal. I think you need to put a better shooter at the top, and they were discussing that on the broadcast in game 5. And I think they make the right adjustments and they come out with a plan. So that's why I like Utah first quarter, but I also like him in the game as well.
Yeah, I'm with you. I do think the Jazz, I'm more confident that they rebound in game 6 and get a victory as opposed to the Philadelphia 76ers. I think they just look at their game rather than them coughing it up. They just had a bad night. They couldn't hit threes. Donovan didn't have the juice that we've seen earlier in the series. So I do like Jazz first half, first quarter of that type, and for the game as well. As far as props, since we have some uncertainty with how the rotation is going to look with Mike Conley maybe being reintroduced and Donovan still being just a game time decision, we know what the rotation for the Clippers is going to look like. Kawhi Leonard is out again, so we can focus all of our energies on Paul George overs. Over points, over rebounds, plus assists is 15.5. His points, I think, is 30.5. His 3-point field goals is, I believe, 3.5. And I would go over that as well, because he'll take 9, 10, 11, 12 triples, and he's a 40% shooter. And then Marcus Morris, I think, is the guy who becomes the second most reliable scorer. Reggie Jackson had some big moments in game 5, but Morris, I think, is the guy who is a more reliable offensive weapon next to Paul George. His point prop is only 16.5. He's averaging 24.5 the last 2 games. Of course, game 5 without Kawhi. where he, you know, got 16 field goal attempts. So I think Marcus Morris and Paul George are the two players I'm most comfortable attacking, given what we know about the rotation for Ty Lue with Kawhi Leonard still on the bench.
All right, good enough for me. And we have an extended series. Last night was a potential closeout game. The Nets did not get it done. So we have a game seven. And I don't have the stats in front of me. Historically, these have gone under. I believe it was seven straight unders before the Clippers and Mavericks went over in the first round. Something along those lines. I'm going to play the Harden three-pointers over prop. It hasn't been posted yet, so I'm assuming it's going to be 2.5 like yesterday. I was on set, my best bet, and something we talked about in the beginning of the show was Harden under 16.5 or 17.5 points. Now, I got lucky. I barely got there. But you said something on set that opened my eyes. You're like, yeah, Harden's not going to drive. 8 of his 10 field goal attempts in game 5 were all from distance. He's just going to chuck threes. I'm like, that's a great point. So over 2.5 makes, he got there in the by halftime yesterday. So I once they post it, now they may post 3.5, but if they post 2.5, I'm going to play the over. And, you know, basically I was just aggregating information. How about you in this, what's basically a coin flip game?
Yeah, I that was I think we did a good job there threading the needle, because I do think it was smart to play the Harden under in points, and you may have gotten lucky there, but hey, it cashed. And like I said, I don't think much is going to change in game seven. I don't think Harden's all of a sudden going to look like the Harden of old and be shooting 11, 12 free throws because he's getting to the cup and getting fouled. So again, I think most of his shots are going to come from the perimeter, and he's usually good enough to knock down three as long as he takes, you know, 10, 11, 12, which I think he will in game seven. I like the under for the game. I'm going to ride that trend despite what we saw from Clippers and from Mavs earlier in this postseason. I do think these two teams are going to be a lot more tired where they are right now in the postseason with the minutes they've played. Durant, though, you got to play overs there, because I think we can expect him, based on what Steve Nash has shown us, to play 46 to 48 minutes. This might be another game where Durant plays every single second. Giannis, I didn't hit with my rebounds and assists under 18.5, but the points, assists, and rebounds went under again for Giannis. So I will play that. That's something that, like the assist and rebounds, has been a very good trend. And maybe with him being a little more tired, taking less threes, the points comes down a little bit. So 50, if it's 51.5, it's 52.5, like it has been for Giannis most of the series, I'll play under points, assists, and rebounds. So I just don't think it's going to be a high scoring game. I think we're going to see something similar to what we saw in game six. And another trend that we have to watch out for in this series, Chris Middleton has been awesome at home. And we saw that again last night in game six. He's been pretty bad on the road in Brooklyn for whatever reason. So depending on what the number is for Middleton point prop, if it's in the, you know, 24, 25 range based off what he just did in game six, I'll play the under. But if it's down in the low 20s, 21, 22, I'll probably pass. So something to watch there for Middleton, who's been much better at home than he has been on the road.
I like it. UFC, I like Dan Ige in the main event. Nothing hardcore, but solid play for me. By the way, we hit my long shot last night in the MMA.
Nice.
6-1
was
dog.
It 10-1?
6-1. Yeah, it was 10-1 favorite. 6-1 dog.
Okay.
So we got there. What about you? Any baseball for you?
Yeah, there's a couple of games I want to attack. The first five, Braves first five run line. So they just got to win the first five by a single run versus the Cardinals. Carlos Martinez on the bump for the Redbirds, who doesn't miss bats, gives up a lot of hard contact. We know the offense that the Braves have. -120 the price on that. Same for Twins, Rangers run line. I'll play the Twins first five run line, as they have a decided pitching matchup there. And it didn't hit yesterday, but I'm going to go back to it again today. Rockies Brewers under 10.5. Corbin Burns this time on the bump for the Brewers. Brandon Woodruff gave up 5 runs in the first inning, and he'd been one of the best, you know, road pitchers in Major League Baseball. So that was kind of an outlier. I'll go back to it again, even though it didn't hit. Rockies Brewers under 10.5 total for the 9 innings.
It was a pretty rough beat. I'm not going to lie. I mean, you had some errors and some nonsense. Right. I still like to play. I'm on that Barrios first five -0.5 as well in that one. All right, man. I think that'll do it for us. We will see each other later in the studio. Best of luck to everyone listening. 6 Eastern tonight, ESPN2, if you want to catch the TV version of us. And we'll see you back here on the podcast Monday morning.